One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So, what I was trying to say, Robert, and introduce myself, I'll play my commercial, which I just did, and I'll play it again before the end of the show. Once again, my name is Joe Peters. I cover Hunterdon in Somerset County, and I write a very in-depth newsletter once a month, right after the month ends, and I write a version for both Hunterdon and for Somerset County. So I'm going to go through the highlights of the newsletters for those two areas, and then secondly, I'm going to go into an in-depth analysis of what's happening and why it's happening, so you get a better overview. My apologies for anybody who tuned in last month. I seem to have the silent version up there. I think I was remiss in not turning the volume up loud enough or on at all. And as a result, if you tuned in, all you saw was me talking, but you didn't hear me talking. Today, we're going to have both. So people ask me, where does this newsletter come from? Here's a picture of it. You can find it on my site, jpeters.com, under market. If you go to blogs, there's a whole market analysis section, market reports. It comes from three different areas. It comes from my day-to-day communications within the industry, which are pretty in-depth. I belong to about 10 or 12 different business groups, and each business group offers a different perspective of the business. Some are as far as way up in Basking Ridge and Warren, Warren-Watchung area, and some are right here in downtown Flemington. Secondly, I pay to listen to two authorities on real estate. One is more on a national level and one is more on a Central Jersey level. And between those three areas of gathering information, I put together this newsletter. Now, it's broken into two parts. The first part is what is happening. And then the second part is even more important. That's why it is happening. And somebody once said, if you know what's happening, you're going to have a job forever. If you know why it's happening, you're probably going to be in charge. So I don't want to be in charge, but I do like to, because I have a very analytical mind, understand why things are happening. And that's what I'll explain to you today. Let's talk a little bit about Hunterdon County first. We have, based on the last full month of contract sales, about a five-month supply of inventory. Well, you might say, so what does that matter? Well, a month's supply is the reason prices go up or go down or don't go down. If you have 10 houses for sale and you sold two last month, you have a five-month supply. That doesn't mean they closed. That just means they went under contract. And if something went on the contract that might perform close last month, that doesn't count either. What it's just saying is we took a snapshot. You've got 10 pieces of property. Two of them went under contract in the last 30 days. You've got a 2 and a 10. You've got 5 months supply. That's where months supply comes from. If you get up over 6 months supply, there's pressure on pricing, and we're probably seeing price reductions in order to sell houses. If you get down below 4 months supply, you then have price competition, and you're probably seeing increases in pricing. So I do month supply both by the county at price point and then by the town within the county at price point. And then in order to take a look at your particular situation, we have to look at the price point within your town, which is done on an individual one-on-one basis as it's needed. 5 months supply, 4 to 6 is average. That means the market is steady. It takes 4 to 6 months to sell a house. And prices aren't going up, prices aren't going down, birds are flying, rainbows are out, and butterflies are going from bush to bush. It's sort of where we want it to be. And we're saying that right now we're taking a look at a five-month supply in Hunterdon County. Normal market conditions under going under contract took an average of 65 days. And we had 173 properties going under contract last month, up from August when we had 156. That is phenomenal because we usually drop when we get into September. Newly listed properties were in the same period of about 212. 83% of all of the properties that went under contract were under $500,000. That's where our market is. If you went down to $400,000 and below, it's probably 70% of all the properties. If you take a look up at what happened above 500, that's the over 17%. And 500 to 650 is sort of an executive move in, move out, transferee, transfer out area. And then if you get above 700,000, we only sold six houses last month. Six houses of, as I said, we sold 156 houses. 173. It was 156 the month before. And only four sold over 700,000. Hold that number in your mind, because when we go to Somerset County, you're going to say, wow, how do they do that? Because they sell a ton of houses up in that price point. And we've got several points that are duds, at least for last month. Two areas, Hunterdon County, had no sales at all. Frenchtown and Stockton, two river towns. Three areas reported only one or two sales. Califon, Hampton, Lambertville, sort of to the fringes of the north and south of our county. And then we have our normal hot spots, which is where people want to live. Clinton Township had 20 sales. Raritan Township had 20 sales. Reddington Township had 20 sales. So three spots alone were nearly 40% of our sales. And the average new listing coming on the market last month neared $500,000, 502 to be exact. And the average price going under contract was $350,000, 30% less. And we're going to talk about how that's happening. And once again, to get an accurate point, we're going to have to look at, in effect, your price point within your town for your style of house and see what's going on. So let me go through some of the price points and tell you where we're at. Once we get above 500,000, we have only sold six above seven. We sold another six above six and below seven. So we sold a dozen, less than 8% of our houses, over $600,000. That's not really good news, because that means In the 5 to 6 range, where you have a 12-month supply, remember what I said, you get above 6 months and there's pressure on the prices. You get between 6 and 7, we have an 18-month supply. 7 and 8, we're back to a 12-month supply. 900 to a million, a 25-month supply, because we have 25 listings and we sold one. What does that divide out to? 25 months to sell one house. And of course, next month that could change, and we could sell three or four. But right now, it's a 25-month supply. Over a million, we have 67 houses for sale. We didn't sell any last month. We usually sell one or two, but we didn't sell any last month. I think one of the interesting points that I saw, remember I said the average listing price was $502? The average listing price for the month before was $477. The average sale price was $350. The average sale price the month before was $402. So our average listing price went up while our average sale price went down. And some of the things we go through is going to explain why that happens, and that's not unlike what we're seeing over in Somerset County. Let me go through the towns a little bit. Usually the further out you get to the west, the less activity we see. A good example here would be Delaware Township. That's west, southwest. 15-month supply. If you get out to East Amwell, 8-month supply. Franklin Township, that's just on the other side of Clinton, 7-month supply. Hampton, and once again, I said they only had one sale, 10-month supply. Tewksbury, this is surprising because Tewksbury is the very first jump-off point as you come into Hunterdon County. It's an upscale development. If you live on a street in Tewksbury, there's probably somebody on a street with a horse on their property. That's the kind of township it is. We had, in Tewksbury, 103 sale listings for sale. 103, we sold five. That's a 21-month supply. I don't understand that because it's a very popular price and it may be an anomaly. But secondly, it is an upscale price, and probably the average price in Tewksbury is above $700,000, and that's what you're seeing. So 925 active listings, 149 sold last month. We listed another 212. The market is active, and we have an average of, I said 5 months supply, we have an average of 6 months supply countywide. So we're at the upper edge of normal. Not bad, unless you're at the high price point or farther to the east or north or south. Our sweet spot is right, it used to be up to Route 31 plus a mile or so, and it consists of Reddington, Raritan, and the Clinton Township area. It sort of appends to the sweet spot that's in Somerset County because Bridgewater, Branchburg, their Franklin Township, which is just above at Somerset County in Somerset itself, and Hillsborough are where most of their sales happen. And let's talk a little about Somerset, and I'll contrast it back to Hunterdon. We took 65 days to sell on average. They took 52. Hunterdon sold 149 houses. They sold 301, two times. They have three times as many for sale. And it's down from 364 the month before, where Hunterdon actually went up. And newly listed properties in that same period of time was 485, where our newly listed properties in Hunterdon County was 212. They have a total in Somerset County of properties for sale of, and I'm just trying to turn this page, 1,525. So, contrast the two counties. Somerset County is in places 20 to 25 miles closer to New York City. If you go to the far end of Hunterdon County, to the far end going east of Hunterdon County, Somerset County, far end of Hunterdon going west, far end of Somerset going east, you spend 25 miles. The closer you're to New York, the higher the prices are. Somerset County has three times as many people and three times the area as Hunterdon County. Hunterdon County gets 20% less for their houses than Somerset County does. Or to say it backwards, Somerset County gets 20% more because it's closer. And in Somerset County, 71% of the sales were under 500. 25% of the houses for sold were between 500 and 1 million, and 4% or 11 were over $1 million. So remember what I said? We had 12 houses over 600,000. If I added them up in Somerset County, we had 60-some houses over 600,000. So we had five times as many because they sell for a higher price point. They sell quicker. It's quicker to get to New York. And we're going to get into this a little bit later. People don't want to live as far out as they used to. Route 31 plus a mile or two was the average when I moved out here about 20 years ago. Route 287, less a mile or two is the average now. Bridgewater is the one exception. People want to live in Bridgewater. Very dense area, very good school system, very low taxes. But we're starting to see, they had two areas with no sales, Gladstone and Rocky Hill. PPAC Gladstone's a high end. Rocky Hill's pretty much down by Princeton. They had two areas with one or two sales each last month, Far Hills and Millstone. Far Hills a very upscale area. Millstone, once again, is right down by Rocky Hill. And then there are hot spots. Bernards, 24 sales. Bridgewater, 32 sales. Franklin, right above New Brunswick, 64 sales. Hillsborough, 41 sales. Montgomery, 14 sales. These hotspots sold almost 60% of their inventory last month. The average new listing coming on the market in Somerset County sold for $571. The average new listing coming on the market in, the average new listing coming on the market listed for $571, where we listed for $500. And the average price of a unit going under contract was $436, where ours was $350. So that's that 20%. Some months it's 22, some months it's 18, but it's roughly 20%. They listed for 571, they sold for 436. They also are 24% less on the sale price than the listing. Now you say, how does that happen? Well, the houses that list today will sell 3 or 4 months from now, and it'll be a different market then. And between now and then, they'll probably mark it down a little because they're usually a little on the optimistic side when they list their house. We sort of encourage people not to do that because that's prime time. But people still want it. Let's try it. And we could always mark it down. We can't mark it up. It's a poor argument, but that's what people want to do, and it's their house. At the end of the day, I work for the seller. Seller doesn't work for me, and we follow the seller's lead. Same situation. In the month before, we listed for 519. We're now up to 571. And the reason is that the people who are selling, it's a different market, are selling in a higher level. We also went under contract at 436, or the month before, we went under contract at 468. It's interesting, but it's normal. And there's some good spots here, too, and some bad. Bernardsville, 17-month supply. It's 99 houses for sale. We sold six. Pretty high-end area. Bridgewater, we had a six-month supply. 177 listed, 32 sold. In Hillsboro, 138 listed, 41 sold. Three-month supply. In Montgomery Township, 127 listed, 14 sold, 9 months supply. So it varies by where you're at. Watchung, very high-end area, 5 months, 52 on the market, 5 sold, has a 10-month supply. If you look at Warren, it's a sister county, one township to the west, a sister township, one to the west of Watchung. They have 134 sale, and they sold 19. That's a 7-month supply. They're sitting with a 5-month supply, doing a little better than we are. What I can say is Niebuhr County is doing bad because we see them up at 8 and 9 months supply when we get into the winter doldrums. And some of the things that we're going to talk about as to that's the what's happening, now we're going to get into the why it's happening, is going to explain this to you. Before I do that, they've asked me to play one or two more commercials, which I'm going to do, and I'll be right back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
So once again, this is Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. I'm broadcasting from WHCR-DB, DB meaning digital broadcasting. This is an internet broadcast out of Flemington, New Jersey. It's roughly 4:20 on the 2nd of October, 2018. How did it get to be October already, although it's feeling pretty good? So we spent the first third talking about what happened. Not bad. It's active. It's even more active than we expected. I think if I could tell you in one word what's different this year than other years is we're seeing a lot of listings come on. There's a reason for that. I'm going to go through it. And as a result of a lot of listings going on, I think next year is going to be more active yet. We had a very good year. I think next year is going to be a banner year. So let's get into why it's happening. Let's first start about the New Jersey economic drivers. First of all, the home sales. First time in 3 years we've seen an improvement in inventory situation, but it's still below what we needed. Let's hope it's the beginning of a real trend. Now, in the month of June, it actually went up a little. In the month of July, it stayed flat. But every month for 3 years before that, it was down. So even staying flat is an improvement. An increase of 8%, 0.8% in home sales year to date. This is being held back somewhat by lack of inventory. In other words, if we had more houses to sell, we'd sell more houses. We have more buyers than we have sellers. Activity concentrates in the under 400K market, where the millennial buyers transition into home ownership. During the same period, all housing sales showed increases across all other price points, showing confidence in the changes made on the taxes and deregulation. There has also been an improvement in the very high-end towns where rail service to Manhattan is available. That's more in Somerset than in Hunterdon. And that's why Somerset gets a better price point. Activity concentrates, we said that. At the same time, the number of homes offered for sale in New Jersey remains low and actually dropped by 2% last month. The supply decreased by nearly 750 homes compared to a year ago, and we currently have 31,000 fewer homes than were on the market in the 2011 peak. We're roughly at one half the homes that were on the market back then, but we're selling more. You say, well, how could you have half the houses and selling more? They sell the day they come on. Sometimes they sell the day before they come on because the listing agent says, I have a buyer for you. We don't have to put this on the market. Current unsold inventory in New Jersey varies widely by county, some having only 3 months. No county has more than 9 months supply currently, and the average is about 4 months. And that's about the same as it was a year ago. We still have an acute shortage of inventory in both Hunterdon and Somerset County in our most popular price points, especially under the 400 in Hunterdon and the under the 500 in Somerset. Hunterdon and Somerset counties have 1% less inventory each than a year ago, and they have 9 and 12% less inventory than they had 2 years ago. There's a double-edged fear here driving the buying market. One is the fear of interest going up. So what happened this week? Interest went up. Pretty good fear, okay? It's gone up now 3 times since the first of the year. Interest has risen from somewhere around 4% at the beginning of the year to somewhere around 4.6% right now, 6-tenths of a point. And if it merely gets to 5, which it could by early next year, you'll have lost 9% from 4 to 5% interest of your buying power. Secondly, remember I said there was a double-edged sword? The other edge is prices are going up. Since we don't have enough houses, the ones that are available are going for more and more. We've probably seen at least a 3% increase so far this year, and it's going to be somewhere between 5 and 6% by the end of the year, especially in that under 400K market. 30-year conventionals are at 4.65, 15-year just over the 4% mark, and five-year ARMs are just under the 4% mark. Consumer fears, and I said, steadily increasing interest rates and prices is driving the market. Combine this with the consumer confidence, which is out of sight, by the way, and you will have what is driving our current market activity. Forget the politics of all of this. What do you see as you drive down the street for the first time? In years, we see help wanted signs all over the place. You go into McDonald's, they're sending the kids to college to get them to come work there. Just read this morning, Amazon raised everybody to $15 an hour for retention of employees. We're seeing more and more people going to work. As a matter of fact, what we're looking at right now is we have something like 6.8 million jobs available, and we only have 6 million unemployed people. We have more jobs than people. That's the second or third month in a row this has happened. So you might say, so why don't they go to work? And we'll have no. Well, it's not that simple because we have the people with the wrong skill set, the jobs that are open, and we have people in the wrong geographical areas for the jobs. So there's always going to be basic economics 101 says you'll always have 3 to 4% unemployment. We're sitting right now at 3.9. We're about as good as it gets, and we're as good as it's been in a long time. Let's take a look at the national job front. U.S. unemployment, 3.9%. We added 1.65 million jobs in for January to August of 2018, and we're trending for a 2.4 million ad this year, 9% increase over the prior year. Once again, if you'd like to get a copy of this, go to my website, jpeters.com, go to blogs, it's a tab on the top, go to market reports, and you can see it. And if you'd like me to send you one on a monthly basis, just drop me an email to jpeters@jpeters.com. I'd be more than happy to do it for you. And as I said, at the end of July, there were 6.9 million jobs. Well, why am I talking about July? That's the last month reported. We usually trail about 60 days. And we have 6.2 million unemployed people. The gross domestic product is over 4%. It's out of sight. Consumer confidence is the highest it's been in 14 years. And it's great news for the housing industry because people are looking and saying there's no time like the present. Interest is never going to be cheaper in a foreseeable future, and prices aren't going to be cheaper in a foreseeable future. They want to buy now. They just can't find the inventory. But once again, we're starting to see some inventory come on. Now, let's take a look at the New Jersey market. We're sitting at 4.2% unemployment. That's as good as that's been in a long time. We added 1,600 jobs in August, and 49,000 jobs have been added year to date, as compared to 31,000 the year before. That's roughly a 50% increase. If this continues, we're going to put 70,000 jobs on by year end. The level of the jobs created is much higher level than we've seen in the past few years, and that's sort of the silver lining because these are not hamburger flippers. These are people who will eventually be able to buy a house. It should be noted that these jobs are concentrated in the northern half of the state. Nothing new there. You go to the southern half of the state, and it's either resorts or farming or really rural type of work. Rental markets. Now, you would think, this is very interesting, you would think because so many people lost their home over the last 10 years, they flooded the rental market, and as a result, rentals have been at an all-time premium. We're seeing rentals go up 10 or 12% a year. We're seeing about a 2.5% to 3% vacancy rate, where it's normally triple that point. Go out and try and find a rental. There are none. Rentals move very quickly and are going up every month. But we are seeing rental prices in central Jersey, where we're at, we're sort of north central Jersey, we are seeing them at a premium. We're spending about $1,500 right now for a one-bedroom, maybe with a garage, or maybe 800-square-foot apartment. It's a condo. You want a two-bedroom, it's probably going to run you $1,800 to $2,000. And that's in Hunterdon County. You go into Somerset County, it's probably 20% higher. And you get near New York, it's 50% higher. That same $1,800 to $2,000 apartment that we'd get in Hunterdon, Somerset County, near New York, within 15 minutes commuting distance on high-speed rail, is up in the $4,000. So what are we starting to see? We're starting to see, because we can't find houses to purchase, people gravitating towards rentals. And we're starting to see, because the work is in New York City again, or very nearby, people gravitating to very urban areas like Jersey City, Bayonne, those areas along the river right across from New York City. And we're starting to see people renting versus buying, and spending a lot of money, not only to rent, but to live in that area. Dry cleaning costs more, groceries cost more, eating out costs more, daycare costs more. And as a result of that, we're starting to see less and less money being accumulated towards purchasing a house. And as a result of that, we're gravitating towards a more rental-driven society. More than half of the new construction in New Jersey last year was built for rentals. And I would gamble to say that that's going to increase. Drop in New Jersey home ownership rate contributes to a 12-plus year trend of decreasing from 71 to 66%. It was down around 64 and it bounced back up 2%. And it's compared to an 8% nationwide decrease. Ours is 7, it's 8. nationally, and 20,000 additional renters in our state. Households with no children are standing at 65%, and households with not having two adults are standing at a little over 50%. One article states that the average homeowner has a net worth of $230,000 because the house is appreciating nicely in this economy. Remember what I said, under $500K, we're probably going to see a 6% increase. And if you bought a house for $250,000, that house is probably going to turn into a $300,000 house over the next 5 years. But if you're going and putting all your money in a rent, which means you're paying somebody else's mortgage, you're not going to have equity position. You're going to have to save some money. And because you're spending so much money to live where that you want to live, you're going to have less money saved. And as a result of that, we're seeing where homeowners' net worth is $230K in New Jersey, a renter's net worth is actually $5K. Big disparity. It's not like that's new, but it's increasing, and it seems like it's going in the wrong direction as far as home ownership. However, the number of renters increased by 7% over the last 25 years, and the less educated are leading the way. It's always been the way, though. And we're now seeing more educated millennials moving into the East, into higher rent and higher cost of living areas. I mentioned that already. Foreclosures. This is a bright spot. We in New Jersey have had a lot of foreclosures. We were number one for 4 or 5 years on the foreclosure market. And that scene is improving. It's not like we don't have any, but we're seeing an improvement. And let me read the statistics to you. Figures vary by local market, but right now we're ranking number three at 2.8% foreclosure rate, and that means there are people with 90 days or more delinquent on their mortgage. And we're led by Florida, who's always been number one or number two, with 4.3%, mostly hurricane, and followed Florida and New York. New York is worse. I mean, I don't care what the governor of New York says. His state has some issues. And then we're followed by Louisiana, Mississippi, Maine, Delaware, and Pennsylvania. The national baseline is 1.7%. We're at 2.8%, and the higher end states are at 4.3% foreclosure rate. Our foreclosure filings in 2017 decreased slightly to 70,000, or about 5%, putting pressure on home prices in concentrated areas. Based on the year-to-date results so far, 2018 could decrease about another 7%, was 5%, down to about 65,000 filings. So it's always given us a little bit of additional inventory, hard to sell inventory, long time to sell inventory, difficult to sell inventory. It goes first through the foreclosure process, which is a short sale where you try to, you may own a house for $350, it's only worth $300, you put it on the market, the bank takes $300 for it, your credit takes a hit, but you're off, you don't really owe the money or take any tax consequence on it. If you and the bank can't get along, or if it can't be sold for one reason or another, and a lot of these properties, because there is no money, are beat up and they're hard to sell, then the bank takes it over, and a bank sale gets a little bit of refurbishment and thrown back on the market. It doesn't look like a short sale. It looks like what we call REO, real estate-owned or bank-owned properties, and they come back as normal retail. So that's the status of what's happening in New Jersey. Let's go through what we're seeing on a nationwide basis. We were afraid of the Tax Act causing a lot of people to pay a lot more taxes. We're not seeing it. There was this SALT, or state and local taxes, which getting a $10,000 cap. Mortgage deductions going away, and home equity credit did disappear. It's still too early to tell, but it's starting to look like that's only going to affect the upper end market. One study says you have to earn $400,000 and own a $1 million home as a single before this affects you. And we have people in that bracket who own homes in that price point. We don't know a lot of them. It's probably the upper half of 1%. There were several proposals for the new tax code, and most people don't know where we wound up because they really haven't done their taxes yet for this year, although they should have done some planning with their tax accountant already. when they finished up their 2017 taxes. It's also evident that the outmigration from New Jersey to other more affordable states has continued. Excuse me. I'll give you an example. I listed four or five houses since the beginning of the summer, and three of the five are moving out of the state. One reason or another. One's transferring, two are saying, I just can't afford to live here anymore, but they're moving out of the state. And that's what we're seeing on, if you look at the Allied van lines, we're seeing two out of every three people that they move out versus one moving in. It's a problem. We're an overtaxed state. In a nutshell, these changes appear to be having little impact to date, tax-wise, but there is some high-end people that will be. So, economic conditions. 2017 was the seventh straight year of 2+ million job gains. Although improving in 2018, the New Jersey job situation has been declining for the past 2 years. Although it is now stabilized at 4.2% and starting to look good, the national average is still in much better shape. The best paying jobs are near New York City, and people are moving in that direction. Interest rates have already risen 0.75 point, and they will probably rise another 0.25 point by end of year or at least early next year and keep rising. That's good news. That's not bad news, because we only raise interest because the economy is moving so fast we want to slow it down a little. But people who want to buy a house are getting caught in the middle because now they're going to have to pay more in interest for it. Once again, you merely move from 4% to 5%. Any 1% increase in interest will cost you 9%. And the house prices went up probably another 5 or 6%. So you're probably losing 15% a year at our current rates by not buying, or more importantly, not being able to find a house to buy. Baby boomers choosing to stay put. I see a lot of this. They're not looking at buying that last house, what we used to call the mega mansion. The kids are going to school. Why don't we buy the house of our dreams and live there 10 or 15 years before we retire? What they're saying today is that's not a good investment anymore. And with all of these tax consequences on it, it's even less of a good return on investment. And maybe it would be better to over-improve the house we're in and just live there. We like the neighborhood. We like the neighbors. We just need the house reconfigured. We're seeing a lot of that. In some instances, we're seeing them do themselves damage by tanking a four-bedroom house, combining two bedrooms into one big master suite and turning it into a three-bedroom house. When they go to sell, it's going to be a little tougher to sell because four bedrooms go for better prices. But people are doing that, and they're not doing that last trade-up. And because they're not moving, and because when they move, somebody will buy their house, and when that person moves, somebody will buy their house, and down the line two or three times, we get into this housing crunch that we're in. People aren't moving up. We're not building entry-level housing at the low end, not in free market anyway. We're building some COA stuff, but not free market. Most of the COA is rental only. And COA's Council on Affordable Housing. It's a different subject matter than we're talking about, but it's affecting the subject that we're talking about. So we're in that escalator. The people at the top of the escalator aren't moving as fast as the people behind them. So the people behind them can't find a house to move, and they slow the people behind them down to the point where a lot of people are saying, well, the hell with it. I'm just going to go rent for a while, or I'm going to go towards New York City and rent. And that's what we're seeing. As a result of the previous several points, we're experiencing this current housing shortage of inventory. Over the last 60 days, I personally have seen a lot of inventory coming onto the market in a period and a time of the year where we don't see inventory coming onto the market typically. And I think it's encouraging, and I think it's going to make the spring market look really good. Foreclosures on a decline, but they're still there. And consumer confidence. Go past the new car dealer. What are you going to see? Lots of new cars. Drive into a restaurant. What are you going to see? Long wait for the table. No matter where you go, in the state of New Jersey, be it down the shore, be it into the mountains, be it near to the city or to the west, no matter where you go, you're starting to see an economy that's booming. That is good news. What we need to do is get enough houses so that people can sell or we're going to see more and more rentals. Changes in lifestyle. This is another totally different reason, but it drives everything else we're talking about. Some of it's driven from what we're talking about, and some of it is driving what we're talking about. Average age of marriage, now into the mid-30s, up 7 years over the last 5 years. Families usually have only one child, maybe two. It's very expensive to have children and put them into daycare. 65% of all New Jersey homes have no children at all. 50% don't have but one person in it. And demand for larger homes has diminished. But not only in New Jersey, but everywhere. We were all the way up in Quebec, Canada last summer. And they were saying, all these homes up on the hill where all the merchants and bankers used to live are now vacant because they want to live downtown. They don't want to live in a big house anymore. They don't have the amount of children. They aren't making the amount of money they used to make. And as a result, the lifestyle has changed that they want more of a downtown. Go to Somerville. Three high-rises going up. Go to New Brunswick. Several high-rises going up. People are looking to live downtown. Demand for larger houses diminished. Not only in New Jersey, but everywhere. And as a result of the job situation, people want to be within 15 miles of New York City. And 80% of all consumers still perceive homeownership as part of the American dream, which is to leave with more than they came in with. But it's just what they want to buy that has changed. Builders are building, and they're still thinking Center Hall Colonials on a large lot. And buyers are thinking luxury high-rises close to mass transportation and work. And it's a total mismatch. And for the first time in history, Hunterdon County, which has had a declining population for the last 5 years, an average of 1.5% per month, has had a decline in birth rates. Add it all up. The market is to the east. It's always been to the east. People from Pennsylvania come to Hunterdon County and then return every night. People from Hunterdon County go to Somerset County and Morris County and Middlesex County, some to New York. People from Morris and Middlesex do go to New York or very close to New York. We call it traffic. That's why we have traffic every day. It's cheaper to live to the west, but the money is in the east. So people commute back, go to work, commute back, stay home. Called bedroom communities. You come in, you come out, and other than the weekends, you never even look to the side. And most people don't understand what's going on around them. We have tremendous opportunity and tremendous problem here in Hunterdon and in Somerset County. But we're turning into more of a rental society, more driven by mass transportation to the city. So when does it all end? We're in our 81st, 82nd month of economic recovery. It's pretty good. We've never gone this long on an economic recovery binge before. And like everything else, it can't last forever. So we look forward and we say, where will it all end? And the people that know more than we do, or the forward-looking people that study the market, are saying somewhere about 18 months out, we're going to see an economic downturn. Now, the raising of interest sort of slows that down from happening because inflation an out-of-control economy can drive it to be quicker. But they're saying 18 months out, the end of 2000 probably, 18 to 36 months out, that time frame, we're going to see an economic slowdown. Will that mean the house prices will start dropping? We don't think so. We think they'll stop increasing at the rate they're increasing, which is around 6% a year, and be more like 3% a year. But it's coming. And I tell people every year, and I just heard some great advice this week in a conference I was at, and I tell them it won't last forever. Enjoy it, take advantage of it. And the advice I heard was a guy that was telling his new agents, don't start financing based on what you're earning this year. You won't be earning this kind of money forever. You've got to be more practical and put some of it away, and don't think that you're going to keep earning at the level you are earning. The effect on housing will probably be limited, as I said. Just the prices won't go up as quick as they are. But in general, homeowners are sitting, New Jersey reports, 92% of our homeowners with positive equity. 10 years ago, we probably had just the opposite. I wouldn't say the opposite, but we probably had less than 50% with positive equity. And the reason is they've stopped using their house as an ATM. Let's borrow against the house to buy a boat. Let's borrow against the house to pay off college. Let's borrow against the house to buy a summer house. They've stopped taking money out of the house. And they've kept the ownership of their house past the 10-year mark, where you start paying interest down at a much quicker pace. So you wind up with a lot of more equity in your house. We're also seeing that, I think I saw the number of 78% of the people in New Jersey have more than 20% equity, which means they could easily buy that, sell the house they want, buy another one, even for more money, with 20% down. But they're not. They're sitting there with it. And as they start to discover it, I think that's what's driving the sales cycle. People are starting to sell, and they will start to sell. But the confidence is reflected in buyer traffic at open houses. The issue we have is we have less open houses than we should, because we don't have enough houses to sell. Affordability will never be in as good shape as interest and price increases start to eat into what you can afford. Millennials now make up 24% of our market. It could be double that. Double. Millennials are going to be 50% of the workforce by the year 2000. They're 35% right now. They're our future. They're 25 to 35 now. The first post-millennial, that means the child was born after 2000. The first post-millennial, we're talking about millennials, trying to get used to them. The post-millennials started working last year. They've graduated high school and are in the workforce. Central New Jersey's trend for 2016 and 2017 showed a surge in home sales, but price increases in houses clustered under 500K. The over 600K market is steady. The over 700K getting kind of tough. Minimal new construction, lack of entry-level construction, and COA. When's the last time you saw a $300,000 brand new condo for sale? Brand new. I'm not saying the existing ones. Brand new. In 2000 to 2005, we couldn't build enough. We've stopped building them because there's restrictions on what we can build, and it's called affordable housing. And those restrictions are causing us to understand what we need to fulfill on the affordable housing quotient before we build more free market housing. And land has gotten very expensive, and it's expensive to build compared to where we were. So that's driving from the bottom end. Five-year forecast increases steady. Price increases of 3 to 4%. You will buy a $250,000 house today. Put 5% down, which means you put down $12,500. And that house will be worth $300,000 by current forecasts in 5 years. You put $12,500 down, and you get $50,000 back. That is what? A 20-time return on your money? 10-time would be $25,000. That's a 20-time return on your investment. It's a great investment. I get people saying, well, I'm only going to be in the job 3 or 4 years. You know, fortunes in a five turns. So what? You're going to get some appreciation during that time. No reason not to buy a house and let it build up some equity. Hunter and Somerset share the same things, acute shortage of inventory. If we have more inventory, we can sell more houses. It's simple. And you're starting to see an increase in the last couple of months of houses being listed. As a result, I think next year will be better. A boom for resales. In 2017, prices rose, averaging 3.5%. In 2018, I think we're going to see them up more like 5% in the under 500,000, and we're going to see them probably in a 3 to 4% in the 5 to 6, 6 to 7. Over 7, I don't think we're going to see any price increases. So what's the forecast? We got 8 minutes left, and I think I can cover this very nicely. Even room for a question or two, but there's no way to call in. The economy will continue to prosper with no recession currently in sight for at least 18 months, maybe 36. And there's more likely to be an impact on the rate of price appreciation of an economic slowdown than in loss in value. So in other words, yeah, we're going at 6% now almost on these under 400,000. So it'll only go 3 when this economic correction takes place. Interest rates will climb about to about 5% by year end, further decreasing buying. Home prices will rise an average of another 3% during that same period. It will depend on your price point and your location. Supply will remain tight in the more popular price points. New jobs seem to be resulting from the Tax Act, and it's called the Tax and Jobs Act. Just look at the help wanted signs. For the first time, the U.S. economy is reporting 6.8 million jobs and only 6 million people unemployed. We now need to match the skills of the unemployed to the job openings that we have so that we could prosper further. Whole different subject called education. We need to, the affordability index shows room for much more sales. We just need to increase the inventory. In other words, there's plenty of people who can afford to buy a house, but they're not. Because they can't find it, they're getting frustrated. Some decrease in moderate price home ownership could result from the tax. Now, we doubled our standard deduction. The average price in New Jersey, not in Hunterdon and Somerset, because we're pretty affluent counties, but the average price point in New Jersey is $330,000. You can get the same tax deduction now just by getting the double in your standard deduction. And as a result, we think some people won't make that plunge into home ownership because the incentive is not there. We still think the incentive of living where you want, owning your own home, being part of the American dream, seeing it appreciate, choosing your school systems, choosing when you leave, not when the landlord wants you to leave, will drive people to home ownership. But the tax incentive is starting to disappear for those lower end homes. Some high-end fallout could result because the high-end people are where the Tax Act is focused at. They're going to pay those taxes. Midterm elections, man, we're only about 6 weeks away at this point in time. And this fiasco that's going on in Washington, it's going to be fun to watch, I guess. People in their homes more than 10 years have a lot of equity. It's an interesting ball of wax because we live in Hunterdon County. We've been here 20 years. We've moved here because of the quality of life. What do I put into quality of life? Density. We didn't want the elbow to elbow of a lot of neighbors. The things that you can do on a weekend, the safety factor, the schools, although we don't use the schools, it factors into the resale value. There's no manufacturing in Hunterdon, very little in Somerset. It is a good quality of life. We've never looked back and said we made a mistake. Up until Marilyn retired this year, the commute was kind of a pain in the neck because she went all the way back to the Piscataway area. But she goes to visit her friends who live in Clifton and other areas that are much more dense, much more city-like. And she said, I can't see how they live there. I said, that's because you've lost sight of how good you have it. Hunterdon County and Somerset County are beautiful, safe places to live. You cannot get this kind of lifestyle anywhere else in New Jersey at the price point you're at. But you do need to earn a living. That's basic economics. You need to work in order to pay. And the jobs which had spread to the West have sort of rescinded, the tide has pulled back, and they're more in the East. They're more either near New York or actually in New York. And if you're a four-year college degree and you're looking to earn $75,000 to start, which is reasonable depending on your degree, you're not going to find that kind of work here in Hunterdon and to some extent not in Somerset County. So you're going to go back to the East. And if you're going to be in the East, why would you commute all the way over to Hunterdon County just because it's nice? The nightlife in the East is great. The things to do in the East is great. To a great extent, you don't need a car. All your friends are living over there. The lifestyle there is fairly attractive. We went to this apartment complex in New Brunswick. All rentals, all small units, 8 to 1,200 feet. All renting from 2,200 to 3,300. Brand new units. 24-hour gym with a personal instructor in the lobby. Chef's kitchen that you can rent out and have your parties if your unit overflows and you needed a bigger area. You go into where you pick up the mail and there's a leaderboard and says, Train station, 6 minutes away. Next train to New York, 10 minutes. One after that, 22 minutes. Next train coming from New York, 8 minutes. Uber, 2 minutes away. Just hit the button. This is what people are thinking today. They're not thinking, I'm going to take the bus to the bus station in Clinton. Then I'm going to get in my car and drive another 12 miles. And then I'm going to live in the country and watch the deer eat my roses. They're thinking, especially at the millennial and just above level, maybe the city life isn't so bad. Maybe it's a closer match to what I'm looking for. Marilyn and I looked at it, and we're seniors. She's in her late 60s, I'm in my early 70s. And we looked at this apartment complex in New Brunswick. We said, you know what? And I'm not knocking New Brunswick. If it's in New Brunswick, we could live here. This is not so bad. I don't think New Brunswick and Middlesex County is where we're accustomed to living. Other than that, if I didn't know any better, I would think that is a fine place to live. Living here for 20 years has spoiled us. We're not going backwards. But we get it. We get it. Things have changed. The millennials are looking at things differently than we're looking at, and we're seeing better and better opportunities for younger people closer to New York. And as a result, we're seeing them gravitate in that direction. And quite honestly, that's what's happening. So this is Joe Peters. I'm going to play my commercial one more time. I'm going to put on the news, and I'll be back next week with the leader of our Bonnie Duncan, who runs our United Way, will be here, and we're going to talk about affordable housing. Thanks for tuning in. Joe Peters signing out, and here's a little about me.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News.
Today on Capitol Hill, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell discussed the timeline regarding a vote for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
We'll get an FBI report soon. It'll be made available to each senator, and only senators will be allowed to look at it. And that's the way these reports are always handled, these background checks from the FBI to the Judiciary Committee. And we'll be voting this week. So the FBI report will be finished, and we will be voting this week on the Kavanaugh nomination.
Two pieces of mail delivered to the Pentagon mail facility on Monday have initially tested positive for ricin. That's according to a top U.S. defense official. The mail distribution center put both pieces in quarantine. One of the pieces of mail was addressed to Defense Secretary James Mattis. This is USA Radio News.
It's time to find adventure on every drive. With Pennzoil Synthetics, you get complete protection for top engine performance. And between October 1st and November 30th, you'll get travel rewards to help you on your journey. With the purchase of any Pennzoil specialty motor oil change, you can earn up to $100 in travel reward credit. Save on hotels, rental cars, and activities. Visit Pennzoil.com/travelon to find participating locations. Pennzoil, make the switch. Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at Pennzoil.com/travelon.
This flu season, one Walgreens flu shot can make a world of difference, so you can protect yourself.
And also your close-talking coworkers, high-fiving neighbors, two-month-old niece. That's why Walgreens has specially trained pharmacists that have provided over 60 million flu shots since 2010. Stop by for your flu shot today with a $0 copay with most insurance. Because protecting the world starts with protecting yours. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. Vaccines subject to availability. State, age, and health-related restrictions may apply.
Do America's young adults expect to do better or worse financially than their parents? That's what a new poll asked, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the results.
The poll finds about half of young Americans expect to be